It's good to be here with you this morning. It's been a blessing to be here, and glad for all those of you that have come here. Welcome our visitors, and welcome you to join in with us in this part of the service. I've been blessed by the songs and the things we've heard here this morning. It's when we think of Thomas and his life, and often some of the we think of the song that we sing sometimes with Doubting Thomas, don't be a doubting Thomas. But there's so much, you know, Thomas was one that I think in our lesson today, hear his exclamation there of my Lord and my God. It was a personal thing. It was something that he was a skeptic maybe, but he wasn't. He was looking for truth. He was open to truth. And that's what he wanted to know. And we see when he was what a man of God he was and what a blessing he was to us. Think also of Peter. I'd like to think a little bit this morning of something that most of us use about every day. That's at least those older ones. You use it, hopefully you use it when you were coming here. Hopefully they worked. And that's brakes. You know, brakes are very important. And I don't know how many of you fathers have told your youngsters that brakes, don't depend totally on the brakes. Let off before you get there. Brakes are good. They're there for intent. But brakes are friction. They're two things coming together and it causes friction. They get hot if they're used too much. It causes trouble. Do you ever try going somewhere, driving something, and the brakes, there was a caliper locked up or something? Things just didn't go well, especially if it's one of the front ones. You want to head one way or one direction or the other. Another thing that I often think about in brakes is, especially when I'm driving a busload of children and you're down in the Arkansas hills, it always bothers me. I just hope those brakes work. And, you know, to depend on brakes, thinking of brakes and what I want to think about a little bit this morning is Thomas and Peter, they might have been putting on some brakes. They might have been holding, thinking in our Christian lives, you know, are we putting on the brakes when we should be putting our whole hearts into it? Are we letting things, and there's different ways. If you look at Thomas and Peter, that's one way of maybe some breaking. And but when they let loose, when they saw through, you know, they were all out. And we'll think of some, and later we'll think a little bit of some other ways of other breaks that maybe we put on. But thinking of breaks in the, you know, they're very important, but it's important we use them right. And it's important that we don't just depend on those, on breaks in the literal sense in our vehicles. One of these last trips, I talked about some of how busy it was and how the heavy traffic. But I had to think, especially when I was thinking about brakes this morning, one $300,000 motorhome that I passed and pulling a $70,000 pickup with a $30,000 motorcycle on the back of it, of the pickup. And that's all relevant terms, but somewhere in that range, I'm guessing. But anyway, I think it was a man that was used to driving a sports car. And, I mean, that's the way he drove his motorhome. It just come right up behind something and jam on brakes. If he wanted to change lanes, he just, over he went and swinging that thing. And anyway, he ended up behind us in traffic, and I saw him coming, and I allowed space ahead, and I had a way out, and I was watching my mirror because I saw he wasn't going to stop. And, he took the side, so I stayed in my lane, and he got the thing stopped. But then I noticed all of a sudden he went shooting across four or five lanes of traffic and over onto the other shoulder. I don't know how he got across there. But when I saw him over there, I saw the motorcycle laying over the side of the pickup, and I really felt sorry for him. But, you know, that's a person that was using his brakes in the wrong way. But I'd like to look at James chapter 1 here, if you want to turn with me there, read a few verses there. And also, along with this, think of the single eye that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6. He talks about that eye be single the difference between your eye being single and full of darkness. And I think here James is talking about, I want to think of especially about the verse of wavering there, he that wavereth. Start with verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I'll stop there. I'm thinking of those, especially looking at those verses there, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, when the focus is on moving ahead, and I think that's what we see in Thomas's life there, when after he got through that blur, and you know, that's, I think, something we really can't comprehend. It's hard to comprehend what they went through there. And Jesus dying, this man that they were looking to, their Lord that they were looking to lead them and to deliver them. And here he had suffered that horrible death, and he was gone. And so it's hard, you know, to see what they went through. They were holding back some there, but when they saw him, it all changed, when it opened up to him. But another, when it's things in our lives that we let get in there, things that we let break us, things that we let hold us back, it can be, we could go through any list of these lists in the epistles that would do that. It could be resentment toward each other. It could be something that we're not willing to give up, something that we think this is one little part that we've got to keep. And so it keeps that friction in our lives. It doesn't let us run free. It doesn't let us be what Christ wants us to be and just to put our whole heart into living for Christ. And if we allow that continue, we know what happens with brakes. Eventually, they overheat. They wear out. And the same thing will happen in our Christian lives. We can't let these things stand in our way. It could be music, it could be the things you're watching, it could be whatever it is, something that we're not willing to give up. This is something that we're going to hang on to. And those kind of things, if we let that, we're not going to have harmony in our lives. There's going to be friction, it's going to be dragging us down. I'll give a quote by Tozer here. He says, "When the heart is at cross purposes with itself, there can be no inward harmony. Only discord and a carnal heart that slowly wear out the life." You know, finally the question comes back to, what would we, like Brother James mentioned, what would we do with Jesus if we would have been there? It's just, well, the question's obvious. What are you doing? What am I doing with Jesus now? Are we at cross purposes, or are we completely open? Are we all out? Are we going? Are we reaching out? Doing what we just rolling forwards at without the brakes dragging us back, without things in our lives. If there's other things, we'll get rid of them. We give them up. We give them to God. Why do we want to grovel here below, creeping forward painfully at a snail's pace when we could be racing unhindered towards the prize? You know, let's do a self-check. Maybe we need to get our foot off the brake. Maybe there's things in our lives that we need to just let go. Maybe there's a reason we don't have victory. Maybe there's a reason we struggle with our devotional life. We, you know, so many people, when you talk to them and ask them how they're doing in their Christian lives, and they're not too sure, and you ask them how their devotional life is, usually it's not doing well. And it's because there's other things there. It makes them not feel like it. it takes away that connection is gone. That friction takes away that desire. So let's challenge us with the thought. You know, what if you think about if we'd be living in Thomas's time or Peter's time, what would we do with Jesus? What are we doing with him now? And so let's why don't we bow our heads for prayer?